You are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by you all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by you and for you. You are before all things, and in you all things hold together. And you are the head of the body, the church, this church. You are the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything you might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in you, and through you to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through your blood shed on the cross. Once I was alienated from God and was an enemy in your mind because of my evil behaviour. But now you have reconciled me to Christ's physical body through death to present me holy in your sight, without blemish and free from accusation.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Simon, for leading our prayers, and Justin, for leading us so beautifully in worship this morning. I hope you feel we've entered into God's presence. I certainly do. And thank you for whoever launched us off and didn't recognise the voice into "I love you, Lord," that we could all join in and share together in that. And thank you, Jim, for reading Colossians, because now I don't need to read it. That same passage. So that's an encouragement, isn't it, when things actually just come together. And we've been looking at Jesus, and we've been looking at the cross. And Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthian church, where there'd been debate about whether people were following Paul or following Apollos and who baptized whom, he says, "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe and who are being saved, it is the power of God." The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so the cross divides. When people come face to face with the cross, it divides. It's either folly or it is the power of God for salvation. And there is nothing in between. It is black and white. And once it's presented, it cannot be ignored, the truth of the death of our Lord on the cross. It cannot be ignored. And the cross is before us. It's before you, it's behind me. And as we sit Sunday by Sunday, so we sit and we look at the cross. And it's central to our worship area, isn't it? Up on the front wall. And it's central in the history of the world, even to the point of BC and AD. The most single, most important event in the whole history of the world, the cross and the resurrection of our Lord. And it needs to be central in our lives with our Lord. For it speaks of sacrifice and it speaks of redemption. And we are confronted with the cross every time we come in, aren't we? We can't avoid it. We can't avoid seeing it. We are confronted by it. Do let it speak to us of sacrifice and indeed of the power of God. Jesus' ministry was full of confrontation. Confrontation with the authorities, with the religious leaders. Because of who he was, he threatened the world and world order. And he still does. And as he did it, there was no compromise. Paul Sands said to us last week, compromise is not a Christian word, nor is tolerance. And Jesus never compromised, right from the beginning, where his ministry started with confrontation with Satan. When he was tempted, there was no compromise. But he committed himself there to the way that he was going to go. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll sidestep confrontation if I can. I certainly don't seek it, although if it needs to be done, some things do need to be confronted, then I'm okay to do it. But I don't like it. I don't like confrontation, and few of us do. But our Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane after he'd shared the bread and the wine with his disciples, and he faced what was to happen, and he decided by the power of the Holy Spirit to go through with the purposes of his Father and to complete what he had come to do. He said, not my will, but yours. No sidestepping, no compromise in this ultimate confrontation, the final confrontation with death and with sin. As he became sin, in some mysterious and miraculous way, Jesus became sin, we're told. He who had been sinless, he who lived a perfect and sinless life, became sin for us. But the empty cross and the empty grave is the reminder that Jesus confronted sin and death and overcame them. That he was raised from the dead to glorious new life for us to worship today. So that John could say in his revelation that he saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. A Lamb who was slain. Jesus' single-minded, obedient, no-compromise confrontation led to his death. What are we confronted with? Well, perhaps mostly just a few unpleasant words, a difficult time here and there, nothing really of any significance. And I doubt whether any of us ever have or ever will experience the pain that he went through, the mental anguish of this most awful and humiliating of deaths. And certainly we will never understand the spiritual pain that our Lord endured, the pain of being cut off from his Father, with whom he had been since the beginning of time, as one, they were one, since the beginning of all things, but now were to be cut apart, that relationship to be severed. We worship the Lamb that was slain and now sits in glory at the right hand of God the Father. And we worship him, and we have this morning, who was willing to confront everything that set itself against God's purposes. And to confront everything that held us in darkness. We worship him who did not compromise. We worship him who went to the final confrontation and all that it entailed for the whole world, and that includes both you and me that he loved. We worship him who remained resolute to the end, who didn't draw back or sidestep the confrontation to come in that garden. And all because God so loved the world, so loved you, so loved me and all that he had made. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And John recorded that in heaven they cried, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." The Lamb is worthy. And it's all because God so loved the world, so loved you, and so loved me. And he is worthy of all that I can bring, worthy of all that I have that I can offer, worthy of my life. May we love him with all our heart, with all our souls, with all our mind and with all our strength. For he first loved me and you, even to the cross and to death. Last week, if you were here, you'll remember that Paul Sands spoke about communion because he knew we were going to share in bread and wine this week. And he said, communion is the highest form of worship. And that's where we come this morning. He pointed out that Jesus walked with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't know who he was. But it was at the breaking of bread that he revealed himself to them. And it's at the breaking of bread that Jesus is revealed to us. And we enter into his presence as we break bread together. It is, Paul reminded us, a table of grace, a place of hope, the Lord's table, a place of no deeper fellowship. There is no deeper fellowship than we find around this table, where we gather as equals, every one of us, we gather as equals, whoever we are, as sinners saved by grace. And we can go on doing this until the day when he comes, and that's his call, that we should do that. And on that great and glorious day when he comes, we will be released into something new. And I was going to read those words that Jim did read to us from Colossians. Just the last few words. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And the invitation to this table is made by Jesus, and it's made to everyone who knows and loves him, whether you're a visitor with us today or whether you're part of the regular congregation. The invitation is to come and share in the bread and share in the wine. And if you don't feel that you want to, then please don't be embarrassed. As they're passed along the rows, just allow it to be passed on to the next person. But Paul reminded us last week that we might feel unworthy, then this is the place to come. This is the place to come. For the Lord died for us, for each one of us. And we come to this table not because we must, but because we may. We come not because we are strong, but because we are weak. We come not because we have perfect faith, but because we have questions and doubts. We come nonetheless because Jesus invites us to come, and we will never be turned away. And Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, reminds them to examine themselves before they take the bread and the wine. And we should do that as we come to this table of grace. The psalmist wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour." So let's just spend a few moments in quiet, just examining ourselves. And then in a few moments we will say the words of a confession. Could we have the words up, Simon, please? So let's say together, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against one another in thought, word, and deed, and we have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent of our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all his past and lead us in his way to walk as children of light and in peace with all men. Amen. Would those who are serving like to come and join me, please?
Let's come before God in prayer. We come to the communion table, bringing our worship and praise to the Lord through song, prayer and service, honouring you in all we do. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you made for our sins, dying on the cross, so that we can come to know you and of your love. Help us to love you and all your people. We now ask that you will bless the bread and wine, a symbol of your body broken and your blood shed for us. Please bless us too as we take the bread and wine. In your blessed and holy name, amen.
Amen. And the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks, just as we have done. And he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as the bread comes round, which we will eat as we receive it, and as you wait for it to come, and as you wait while others are served, I thought it might be good if we just think upon Jesus' words. So they're up here. Just meditate upon those words, the words of Jesus, that this is my body, which is for you. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread, reminds Paul, and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we'll retain the cup and we'll drink them together. God so loved the world, you and me, that he sent his only Son. And he cleans us from all sin through his blood that was shed on the cross. So let's drink together with grateful hearts. We are a people reconciled to God because our Lord has made peace through his blood shed on the cross. And Father, we ask that you will fill us with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that we may live lives worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of you, our Father, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to you, our Father, for you have qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For Jesus rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his kingdom, the kingdom where we are redeemed, we are forgiven. So, Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your love that surrounds us day by day. And we pray that by your Spirit you will enable us more and more to love you with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all the strength that we have, to your glory. Amen.